Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, known as Lila Purushottam, appeared as the son of Vasudev, but immediately left his father's home and went to Vrindavan to expand his loving relationship with his confidential devotees. In Vrindavan, the Lord killed many demons, and afterwards he returned to Dwarka, where according to the Vedic principles, he married many wives who were the best of women, begot through them hundreds of sons, and performed sacrifice for his own worship to establish the principles of householder life. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 15.15, Vedaischa sarveraham eva vidya. By all the Vedas it is Krishna who is to be known. Lord Krishna, setting an example by his own behavior, performed many ritualistic ceremonies described in the Vedas and established the principles of grihastha life by marrying many wives and begetting many children, just to show people in general how to be happy by living according to the Vedic principles. The center of Vedic sacrifice is Krishna, Vedaischa sarveraham eva vidya. To advance the human life, human society must follow Vedic principles, personally demonstrated by Lord Krishna in his householder life. The real purpose of Krishna's appearance, however, was to manifest how one can take part in the loving affairs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Reciprocations of loving affairs and ecstasy are possible only in Vrindavan. Therefore, just after his appearance as the son of Vasudev, the Lord immediately left for Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, the Lord not only took part in loving affairs with his father and mother, the gopis and the cowherd boys, but he also gave liberation to many demons by killing them. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 4.8, Pritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam. The Lord appears in order to protect the devotees and kill the demons. This was fully exhibited by his personal behavior. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is understood by Arjuna to be Purusham, Shashvatam Divyam, the eternal transcendental supreme person. Here also we find the words Utpadya Teshu Purusha. Therefore, it is to be concluded that the absolute truth is Purusha, a person. The impersonal feature is but one of the features of his personality. Ultimately, he is a person, he is not impersonal. And not only is he Purusha, a person, but he is Lila Purushottam, the best of all persons. Just read the translation again. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, known as Lila Purushottam, appeared as the son of Vasudev, but immediately left his father's home and went to Vrindavan to expand his loving relationship with his confidential devotees. In Vrindavan, the Lord killed many demons, and afterwards he returned to Dwarka, where according to the Vedic principles, he married many wives who were the best of women, begot through them hundreds of sons, and performed sacrifices for his own worship to establish the principles of householder life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Reading here from the 9th canto, it's just before the 10th canto. The 10th canto is a huge canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So many verses are there. Because it's about the life of Krishna, which is the most tasteful. I mean, everything's tasteful about the personality of Godhead. But taste is found, cannot be found in to a greater degree than other than the personality of Krishna. Akhila rasam rita murti. He is akhila ras. All Akhila means everything, all things. Akhila Ras. Ras means so many things. In English, so many words can seek to give some meaning or to represent the meaning of Rasa. Rasa is pleasure. You feel inside yourself. Great pleasure. Especially from love. That's why everyone's chasing it in the material world. We're pleasure-seeking or we're love-seeking. My father used to listen to a song from a previous era and it was You ain't nobody till somebody loves you. And it's a profound statement, actually. Most people find that in their life. They don't feel complete until they feel the love of another person. And so they fall in love. And when I fall in love, it will be forever. That's the aspiration of the Atma. It's looking here, there, and everywhere, for it, everywhere. Prabhupada, isn't it? He says this. The problem for the jiva is where to repose this love, the loving temperament and the aspiration for love. How will it ever be fulfilled? How will it be reconciled? And we try. Boy, do we try. I mean, as brahmacharis, we try to keep our mind off it. Try to focus it on Krishna. As brahmacharinis, we try to keep our mind focused. Focus the love. Focus the love on Krishna. Please. And then, I'll just put a little bit of love on someone else in this life, grihastha life. And then, you know, wow. You all know the story. The love, you know, people, there's every second song in the top, whatever it is now, is about a broken heart. What becomes of the... Come on, great. Somebody else in the room knows some songs. Maya, isn't it? There's all these songs. Every single one of them is about a broken heart. The world's best-selling album, I think, ever to happen by one artist. She became the richest singer as well, I think. Wait for it. Did someone say it? She's a lady. What's her name? Recent. A lady. Michael Jackson. Wow. That's how off the planet the residents of the ashram are. No. Good try. No. Good try. She sang melancholic love songs. Anyway, forget it. Remember Krishna's name. She sang melancholic love songs. No. Let's stop this competition now. She's not started it. It'll come back when I'm not expecting it. Anyway, the thing was, she sang all these melancholic love songs. I can't remember any of them. Good fortune for you. She's a best-selling artist in the world. Every song was melancholy. People come to her concerts, the Royal Albert Hall, and everything, all standing crying, holding hands with each other. The whole place. They're exhibiting all the symptoms of bhava. The vraha, vipralamba. The vraha bhava. This love and separation from the love that they never had. Yeah? That they always wanted, aspired for, and it would have fulfilled them, but they couldn't have it. Anyway, then she became happy, and she said, I can't write any more songs. I don't know what to write anymore. Which, because she was brokenhearted, she wrote all these songs. You are on point, Adele. She wrote all these songs. After that, she couldn't write any more. Anyway, the point is that everything in this world is a broken heart. Ultimately, I remember when I was a young devotee, someone said to me that when you break a clay pot, it's very difficult to repair it. You can't, you just forget it. There's no point, isn't it? The heart's like that. It's like clay. It's broken. You shouldn't break it. Fall in love with Krishna. So, anyway, I don't know why I started talking about all that. But anyway, the point was that ninth canto, it's approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's Krishna. Rasul Vaisaha, love himself. Supreme in the sense of that in every way. More than every other manifestation of Godhead. He is supreme. He is foremost. Because siddhantatastavedepi srisha krishna srupaya rasanot krishyate krishnam, that based upon rasa, not tattva, tattva on truth, every form of Krishna is absolute. Yeah, who's more? In terms of truth, who's more Ram and Krishna? No, they're the same truth, isn't it? They're all dipayati, etc. They're all lamps. They're all candles, as it would say in the Brahma Samhita, isn't it? Dipayate viritahetu samana dharma. They're all absolute. They're all supreme tattva. But if we change the currency to rasa, pleasurableness, that all loving pleasures are found in Him and reciprocated in Him, by Him, then it's only Krishna. Then He's supreme, more than others. So, this is Krishna of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Through all the many cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, isn't it? Canto 1, Canto 2, Canto 3, and on, he's reading so much philosophy of all different types, establishing devotion, establishing the supremacy of Bhagavan, establishing the supremacy of Krishna, teaching through so many. And then all of these genealogical lines, who descended from who, it's just explaining this big massive family that began right at the beginning of creation. And every time something to do with devotion, something to do with a devotee, something to do with Bhagavan is mentioned, Bhriksha Maharaj, tell me about that. Tell me more about that. And finally, in the ninth canto, the pace picks up so much. It's just going through the names. I think in the ninth canto, some of it's just list, isn't it? It's like, I just can't wait to get to Krishna. I mean, He's coming. He's coming. Like, we think of Janmashtami, we think, oh my God, the festival. Oh, our lives are going to be turned upside down. We're working 24/7, no breaks. No, we think that Krishna is going to appear now. We're preparing for the appearance of Krishna. It's ninth canto. It's just, I mean, literally, it's rattling off the names to get to the appearance of Krishna. And now here, boom! It's right here. Verse 66. I don't even know what came before it, but... Yes, sorry. He was there. He's already mentioned. Finally, you know, it comes to the mention of Krishna. So in this verse today, the mention of Krishna... Speaking of Krishna, as Lila Purushottam. Lila means the play, pastimes, isn't it? Krishna has no work to perform, as we'll understand. He's just enjoying himself. He's doing things out of pleasurable. Pastimes is the word that's common, isn't it? Peculiar word, perhaps, to outside. We talk about people's pastimes. This is a passing the time. It's not some implication. He's not. You know how you feel implicated, isn't it? Somebody does something for you, implicated, isn't it? Oh no! Like Christmas cards. Christmas cards became the horror story in everyone's life. My mother was always like, I never buy another Christmas card in my life. I hate, because you get one from this one, that one, you think, oh, now I need to send them all cards back. This is you become, isn't it? You become, you have to. You become implicated in it all. You owe it to others to do it. Therefore, it's not love. Maybe we try to keep some people, I shouldn't say that, so in such a blanket statement, but it becomes like that, isn't it? You become implicated and you have to do etc. etc. Lila Purushottam means that he's not doing anything because he has to do it. He wants to, because he's getting on with it. And so here it speaks of Lila Purushottam, son of Vasudeva, immediately leaves for Vrindavan. Wow, I mean, most devotees left home later, isn't it? And they got to Vrindavan after several years. During ISKCON, learn about Vrindavan, they said, well, after 3 years, wasn't it in the Brahmacharisham now? After how many years can you go to Vrindavan? 2 years? Wow, is it? That's generous. After 2 years, you can get to go to Vrindavan. I went for the first time in 1986, and I joined in 83. So, that was the special mercy I got at that time. Immediately he leaves the home to go to Vrindavan. He leaves his father's home to go to Vrindavan. And then it mentions in Vrindavan specifically about the loving relationships with his confidential associates. And therefore the Lord going there. And he also killed demons. Secondarily, he also killed some demons there. Quite a few actually. Following which he went to Dwarka, and in Dwarka he was a really religious person. He was Dharmatma in Dwarka. I mean, for us it sounds perhaps, we try to imagine, I mean, things in ancient times, but Krishna also in ancient times, and marrying 16,108 wives. My goodness. It's inconceivable. Saurabh, one wife is inconceivable. 16,108. You can't imagine. But Krishna managed. He managed perfectly. I mean, he struggled at times. Isn't it when they faint and problems and manipulation through love? But anyway, so it speaks about Krishna's way. And Prabhupada, immediately, I mean, he speaks in the purport. I mean, he starts off with Krishna. He speaks off, starts off with Krishna in Dwarka. And it's Vaidaishya Sarvairahameva Vidyo. What's the verse from the Gita? Sarvasya Chahamri Disani Visto Matasmitir Gyanam Apuanam Cha Vaidaishya Sarvairaham Eva Vidyo Vidantakrit Veda Vidiva Chaham. Remember one time I was on a train in India as a young Brahmachari traveling with all the Gurukul students. We're all squashed up in the general compartment. And everyone would all sit, you know, people all sit above you on the upper tier. They all be staring at the Gora, you know, the white person, and all the Gurukul boys. They're all just looking at everything. And then one pundit came on the train with all the chandan and everything, and chadars and the beads and the mooch. He came in and he saw me sitting there, skinny Brahmachari, with all the students, and in front of the whole train, he began to challenge me. He began to challenge the whole basis of everything I was doing. And then finally, when he finished speaking, then I said, "Do you accept the Bhagavad Gita?" He said, "Yes, of course." Another lecture began. And when he finished, then I said, "Then you'll be accepting of the fact that Vidaischa Sarveraham Eva Vidyo Vedantakrit Veda Vedeva Chaham. That of all the Vedas, Vidaischa Sarveraham Eva Vidyo, Krishna's to be known from all of this study, from all of the Shastra, from everything, from centuries of information, Krishna's to be known. Vedantakrit Veda Vedeva Chaham. He's the compiler of the whole thing. He's to be known, but he's the knower of the whole thing, and he's to be known from the whole thing." He stood. He couldn't speak. He went into shock. And then I said, "Well, if you're accepting of that, then the only way to know him, Bhaktiamamai Bijanati Yavanyas Chasmi Tatvadaha." Finished. And I sat down. He never said a word. And everybody around me were all smiling. Some, I think, were even laughing. And off he went. And you know, sometimes the less you know, the better. Isn't it? The less you know, the better. In some instances. It's simple. I was saying to our press, head of media and everything, Meena, I was saying it's better you, younger devotees get trained up for speaking to media. Because when you get older, and you get older, when somebody asks you a question, you just go off in a million directions. And half an hour later, you say, "I'm sorry, I went on a bit there." Everything's a philosophical, theological thesis. until finally you come to some, you may even come to a conflict. You may even come to, well, it's just one of those things, you know, and we have to just keep going, Prabhu. Just ask a young devotee. Yeah, I just learned, we had a little book, it was the key 30 slokas from Bhagavad Gita. It was simple. Every class had to contain some of them. And every preaching, isn't it? Patram pushpam valam toyam prabhu. It's just the simple key essential verses. Learned, memorized, and lived. Isn't it? Prabhupada would say in the Nectar Devotion, or Rupa Goswami mentions, it's not good to build too many temples, accept too many disciples, read too many books. It's not good. Prabhupada mentions, you know, it's better know a few books very well. Isn't it? Know a few books very well. Know the Gita, therefore Bhakti Shastri, isn't it? I mean, even that's massive still, isn't it? Know a few books very well. You can spend your whole life on it. Know a few books. So, this verse, Vedaischa Sarveraham Eva Vidya. Yes, the Krishna is the sum total of everything, to be known by everything. Prabhupada is mentioning this, that he himself is following all the Dharma in Dwarka. And Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that when Krishna woke up in the morning, Dwarkadish we're talking about now, Dwarkadish, not Vrindavan Krishna. When Dwarkadish would wake up in the morning, you know what woke him up in the morning? The cockerel, the rooster, the cockerel, all these. Yeah, they would all start. I won't make the noise. But they would all start there. What do you call it? Crowing. They'd all start crowing. Is that how they say it? Cockcrow. Yeah. They start crowing in the morning. They have a clock in their system, you know. Just before the sun rises, they all start crowing. And this would punish the wives of Krishna, because they held him tightly in their embrace. And when the cockerel started crowing, they'd be cursing that cockerel. Oh, shut up, get out from here. Sorry, I shouldn't speak like that in Dwarka, but anyway, go from here. Because then Krishna would get up. And all the bees would be buzzing around the fragrant flowers. So the sound of the cockerel, the sound of the buzzing bees, and then the whole morning choir of birds would begin just before the sun rises. We devotees have to get up in the Brahma Muhurta, so they're showered, bathed, and ready to meditate on Krishna getting up. Isn't it? So the devotees get up in the Brahma Muhurta. What is that? Is the 1 hour and 36 minutes before the sun rises. It's a very good time. The mind's peaceful. So Krishna would arise. He'd wake up in the morning. And in the morning, he would just touch some water, sit down. And he would meditate on himself. He would meditate on himself because, I mean, he is the yagya tad karmanyo, he's the object of everything. Bhoktaram yagate tapi, bhoktaram jagat tapasam. What was it? Yagya tapasam. Yeah. He is the object, he is the beneficiary of everything, the ultimate object of man. He'd get up and meditate on himself. After having meditated on himself, then he'd take bath. After taking bath, he would chant the Gayatri Mantra. After chanting the Gayatri Mantra, he would throw some Havisha into the fire, like this. He'd offer things into the fire. And then he'd give charity, like that, stated. Go Vipra. What is it? Go Vipra. The cows, the Brahmins, Devatas, Vridha, and the old people. Go Vipra, Devata, Vridha. Krishna would serve them all. He'd offer respects to them all. The cows, the Brahmanas, the Devatas, and the old folks, older people, elders. Gurun, to all the gurus. Bhutani Sarvasha, all living entities. Krishna would respect everyone. So respectful. And then he would give charity. So much charity. After giving all the charity, then he'd get on his chariot with his associates and he'd go to the Sudharma Hall. In the Sudharma Hall, then they would decide on all the things that they should do. And so this is Krishna. He's a married man. He had many wives. He lived in all the palaces with all the wives, and he would be very dharmatma himself, meditating on himself and following all the scriptures. Setting the example for the grihasthas, how to live their grihastha life. That's Krishna and Dwarka. However, as it said here, well, he did all that in Dwarka. Before that, from Mathura, he ran quickly to Vrindavan. And there, it was a completely different story. When you think of his daily account from Srimad Bhagavatam for Dwarka, you think of his daily account from Vrindavan, from Krishnadas Kaviraj. In the morning, Krishna wouldn't wake up. It was the first thing. And Purnamasi, who was the eldest guru of all the people there, lady, Purnamasi would come to the house of Krishna, to Nanda Maharaj, or to Nanda Maharaj's house. And she would be so anxious to see Krishna, she'd tell Yasoda Mai, please, you know, you have to wake up Krishna. Yasoda would be thinking, yeah, just waiting for the moment to wake her son. Just waiting to wake up her son. And so they would start preparing for Krishna waking up. At that point, Krishna's friends would all gather. All the cowherd boys, Stoka, Sridham, Subal, they'd all gather in the courtyard of Nanda Baba's house, and they would, and with Madhu Mangal and Balaram, and they'd all start calling out, Krishna, come on, wake up, wake up. We have to go. You have to wake up now. You have to wake up, Krishna. Come on, we're all waiting for you. Let's go. Then Madhu Mangal would wake up. And half asleep, he'd wander into Krishna's room. He'd say, come on, my friend, it's time to wake up. Krishna would be hearing everything and everybody. He couldn't open his eyes. He was sound asleep. He couldn't open his eyes. And he'd open them a bit and he'd close them again. And then Yasoda would come in and say, come on, Krishna. You have to wake up now, because if you don't wake up, the cows won't give any milk. I know they have calves and everything, but they won't give any milk until they see you. This was Krishna and the cows. When Krishna started herding the calves, yeah, the very first day he got his new stick and all the things he got there, he stood behind the calves and none of them moved. Then nobody could figure out why nothing. How come he's to take the calves now? They won't go anywhere. And then someone realized it's because you're standing behind, they can't see you. Krishna, go to the front. And when Krishna went to the front, then they all went. And seeing him. So Yasoda was saying, the cows won't give any milk unless they see you, Kanaya. So come on, get up now. He's still not getting up. He's not even moving. And his mother said, why are you wearing Balaram's blue cloth? It wasn't Balaram's, it was someone else's. And he said, you've been fighting with all the boys. Look at all the scratches in your body and everything. It's terrible. And then Purnamasi, she says, she's a bit stronger. Krishna, you have to get up now. The cows won't give milk. The day has to begin. Everything has to move. Now, come on, please. Then finally, Krishna, it said he'd sit up and he would yawn and the effulgence of his teeth would spread through the universe. And his arms would stretch up in the air and he'd hold his fist tight and stretch his arms. And probably collapse again a few times. Oops. Yeah, the nectar's flowing now. Probably, yeah, collapse a few times as well. And then, then at that point, Yasoda would take a jug of water. And she would then take the water and put it in his eyes and take the corner of her cloth and rub his eyes and finally come out. And he'd wander out into the courtyard And all his friends would just walk up to him to touch him. He'd walk out with Madhu Mangal holding his hand and with his flute in his other hand. And all the other boys would come up and just hold his hand and hold the end of his cloth. And they'd all stand around him closely. Just completely overwhelmed by his beauty. And then they'd all go to milk the cows. The cow, they'd start milking, no bath, no nothing. They'd start milking the cows. No Achman. No bath. They probably didn't even have clean clothes on yet. They're milking the cows. Taking the calves. Then after that was completed, there'd be a whole big Yasoda Mai be cooking all the things, and then after that he'd take bath. And following that, then he would sit with his friends for breakfast. And all the endless items would be served for breakfast. And then he would just go spend his day herding cows and misbehaving, telling lies, joking, stealing, and how he spent his days. This is Lila Purushottam. This and the Dwarkadish and Ram and everyone is like Mariat Purushottam. Hello, Dwarkadish is so much Leela's there, but it's so much the example. As Krishna says in the Gita, isn't it? Nami Partasti Kartavyam Trishu Lokeshu Kinchana Nanavaptam Avaptavyam Vata Evaja Karmani Yadiya Hamdavatiyam Jatu Karmanyata Drita Mamavatmana Vartante Manusha Pata Sarvashaha Utsidiyurami Lokam Nakuryam Karma Chidaham Sankarasya Chakartasyam Upahanyam Ima Prajaha. He's telling Arjuna, even if you're a perfected person, you have to do your dharma. You have to do your karma in that sense, he's saying to him. You must do your karma. And to solidify the point, he speaks of himself. Name partasti kartavyam trish. There's nothing for me to do. Trishu lokeshu kinchana. Nothing in the, not even a small speck of thing I have to do in the universe. Nanavaptam avaptavyam. There's nothing that I desire. There's nothing that I want. And there's nothing I depend on. There's nothing I need to have. Nanavaptam avaptavyam varta evachakarmani. There's nothing in this, all of this for me. But I'd still do it. Yadi aham navartayam jatu karmanya tandrita. If I don't do it, mama vartmanu vartante, they'll all follow me. Manushya partha sarvashaha, in that direction, if I don't do it. Therefore, utsadiyurim elokam nakuryam karma chidaham. The whole universe will fall into devastation if I, Bhagavan, Ishwar, don't follow the prescribed duties of mankind. So this way, Krishna himself, in Dwarka, he follows all these things. As Prabhupada emphasizes here. But in following all those things, can love abound? Isn't it? I did a study of Sita, I did a study of Draupadi, and compared the two characters. They're completely different. Sita was just whatever Ram. She was a like pacifist Sita. You don't impose on her. She just, take me to the forest because I love you. I'll go everywhere because I love you. I'll never leave you, don't leave me. Sita's was just a love story with Ram. You think of Draupadi? She's more like to her husband, you're not a man! If you were a real man, if you were a real Kshatriya, if you were really following the Kshatriya Dharma, you wouldn't be afraid. Why? You're just here. You always have to become... And she would then take sides with Bhima and everybody else. She would hold them all to ransom. Unless this is done. She was more like it was Kshatriya Dharma for Draupadi. Kshatriya Dharma was the predominant element of her as a woman with her husbands. So, can love really abound where so many rules and regulations of life exist? Therefore, very quickly, Krishna left Mathura and went to Vrindavan, where love predominates. Iti drik svalila abir ananda kunde swagosham nimajantam akhyapayantam tadiyeshitagyeshu bhaktirjitatvam puna primatastam satavriti vandi. The meaning of these prayers, the meaning of this verse in specific, is that Krishna went to Vrindavan and there he began to play. Then he loved, and everyone loved him excessively. And the love was so excessive that very often the maryad, the dharma, was all broken. Isn't it? And he says that Kunti aprati jani hi namai bhakta pranashati. Arjun, you declare it boldly. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, yes, because everybody knows Krishna's a liar. But they'll trust the devotee. But they know Krishna sometimes, he said he wouldn't get into it. He said so many things. He broke his promise for love. He broke everything for love. And so did his devotees. When the young gopis, they all stood in the Yamuna River. They were bathing naked. And Krishna came along as a young boy and stole all their clothes. He said, come on out now. They had a choice to make. Love or dharma. Actually, they never had a choice. Because love dictated. This is the prem. This is the path of love. It's love determination. Bhakti determination. Love determines everything. So hold tight to your maryad, but one day we'll have to give it up. Sarva dharmam prityagya. You have to give up your dharma. And surrender. You can't surrender if you're holding on to anything. Isn't it? Say Ashwatthama's dead. But Krishna, this is not true. That was a failing. Yudhisthira struggled. What? I can't tell a lie. Somebody had to blow a corn shell. They had to cover over because he was attached to his dharma. Dharmaraj. He was an emblem of everything. Dharmic. But in bhakti, in love, love determines all. So the gopis came one by one out of the water. And they were covering themselves. And Krishna said, do your pranam like this. And then they all saved themselves, their shyness, their embarrassment. They got their clothes back. But that was the line. There was a line drawn in the sand. There was a line drawn. Were they prepared to shed everything? Were they prepared to give everything for love? So, like this, how Krishna is in Vrindavan. Love predominates everything. And the inhabitants, Sagosham Nimajantam, they're drowning in Ananda Kunde. Kunds. Ponds of Anand. Bliss. Happiness. And Krishna showed all these things. Tadiyeshitag Yeshu. For all those devotees who worship him with Aishwarya Gyan, Mahatma Gyan, Prem it's called, where the gloriousness of God, where the power and might of God, when the opulence of God is overwhelming, they worship that form. And to show those types of devotees that nothing conquers Krishna like prem, keval prem, pure love, the love of the residents of Vrindavan. Any other form of devotion is a weaker form of devotion because the intimacy of that devotion is diluted or weakened by the greatness of God. In Mahatma Gyan, when something's great, you feel a fear along with your love, isn't it? You feel fear along with the love. It's like my relationship with my mother. I feel the fear along with my love. So people who are highly respected, we may feel feelings for them, but it's contained because of their awesomeness. Because they're so awesome, it's overwhelming. So very quickly, Krishna left for Vrindavan. And displayed this, and just to finish on this point, sorry, I said something about Vamandev and something about Jiva Goswami. It's all in Krishna Lila, everything. Vidaisa Sarvedaham Evas, isn't it? This is once I remember, as a young man, I read and lived in Vrindavan, Jiva Goswami said, the only benefit, if you live in Vrindavan, the only benefit that you get from traveling to other holy places is the inconvenience you cause yourself in getting there. I took that very seriously. I didn't go anywhere. Occasions went to Mayapur. What? So, Prabhupada mentions his point here and is pretty much approaching his conclusion that Pritranaya sadhanam binashaya cha duskritam dharma samstapanathaya sambhavami yuge yuge. That the primary purpose of Pranitranaya sadhanam was that Krishna's devotees, he mentions this in the Gita purport, it's like three times in that purport Prabhupada mentions this. Yeah, the main reason for his descent is for his devotees. The main reason for his descent is to come to Devaki. And then he says the main reason for his descent is the devotees wanted so much to experience Krishna Vrindavan and his full manifest form of Braj Kishore, Vrindavan Krishna. That was the real crucial crux of his descent. And everything else was following that. So while he was here, everything else was taken care of. So he mentions that very... This is the reciprocation with the hearts of the devotees was the main reason for his descent. And therefore he appeared in Vrindavan to do all that. But then later on, went on to do other things and set perfect examples and all the rest of it. But we all became besought with his activities in Vrindavan after hearing them. And although everything else is tremendously important and significant, relevant to all of our lives, our meditation is on Krishna and Vrindavan. So all glories to Vamandev today, who delivered Bali Maharaj by placing his lotus foot on Bali Maharaj's head. And Bali Maharaj expressed this quality of surrender, Atmanivedan. Yeah? Complete surrender of himself, Atmanivedan. Atmanikshepa, Rupa Goswami also describes that. Throwing yourself at the feet. For throwing yourself, Nikshepa. Abandoning yourself to the feet of Krishna. Complete self-surrender. Atmanivedan. So he exemplified that. He had nothing left. He put everything aside and he just thought, if you just put your foot in my head, everything will be fine. Everything will be sorted. And so Vamandev, he put his foot on his head. Jiva Goswami, whose appearance day is today. Okay, this is the final point. An important point. He mentions there's two different types of Atmanivedan. Bhava Vina Atmanivedan, Bhava Yukta Atmanivedan. Bhava Vina is just a general sense of surrender. Like Sarvadhamam Pritcha Jamami Kam Saranam. It's in Dasya. It's a mood of just surrendering your life to Guru and Krishna. Yeah? Bhava Vina means there's no specific bhava in it. There's no bhava in it. It's not signified in it. Love. There's no stai bhav signified in it. That's the feelings of, like when Rukmini was a soul surrendered to Krishna, she wanted him as a husband. She wanted that relationship. She'd heard of him. She fell in love with him before even meeting him. When she surrendered her life to Krishna, it wasn't bhavavina, it was bhava yukta. It was as a paramour. It was as a lover. It was fully, soaked in the feelings of Rukmini, the feelings of a lover. So bhava yukta atmanivedan means that when somebody's surrendering, to Krishna in consequence of their love as a friend, Sakya, Vatsalya, or Madhurya. These rasas, when they express self-surrender of themselves, driven by their specific rasa or sthayi bhava, then it's called bhava yukta. Otherwise, it's general Atmanivedan. So we can take the principle of Atmanivedan from Bali Maharaj, which is spoken of, or Jiva Goswami says, it's that general, it's of the servant surrendering to the master. But he presents further. Saragrahi means there's more to go, there's more to gain, there's more to have, there's more love to give. Then Jiva Goswami pushes, obviously, that we one day in our highest aspirations would like to be surrendering ourselves in a state of bhava yukta with a specific and divine loving temperament, which is the very constitution of our soul. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.